Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the Bible, the Bible's own way. And many of you may wonder what you mean by that. Well, when you study the whole Bible, it's from cover to cover. Amen. And the Bible says all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to all good works. Well, all scriptures are inspiration of God. But the Bible's own way, the Bible has a way that you study the Word of God. And what is it? 2 Timothy 2:15, mm-hmm. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. And that's truth from cover to cover. It's dividing the truth in God's Word. We know how to divide error. And so we want to share that with you this morning. We thank you for tuning in. We thank the saints that are here with smiling faces and looking great. And happy, they're sitting on their hands this morning, guys. But anyway, we're happy that are here. We're going to be singing a song. It's basically our theme song, if you will. It's called "Seated in the Heavenly Places."
Leon, do you have a?
Here's an extra one for Leon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Satisfied with the work of our Savior, He gave His life's blood on cruel Calvary. When I trusted Him, He saved me completely, and now I'm longing my Savior to see.
Tell a lost world how they can be free. You know, religion takes the R out of free and makes it what?
A fee.
And they will charge you for this gospel. If you think about it, they put you under law. They put you under bondage. Mm-hmm. And we can thank God that we have a local church that don't put you under bondage,
Amen.
That allows you to understand the liberty and grace. We all have liberty and grace. You know, Jim was sharing earlier that he's talking to, I think, a preacher or somebody from the church, and he was talking about the gospel, and the guy asked him, is this a trick question? That's what people talks about. When you question them about the Bible, a lot of people will say, you're going to trick me, aren't you? And it's not a trick question. You know, consider what I say, and the Lord will give you an all understanding in things Paul's talking about. So when we talk to people and we're sharing the gospel, the grace of God, you got to watch people, because they will think you're trying to trick them. And what you do, you use the word of God, right? And you just show them. And that's a good door opener to give them the understanding of rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, many of you that are listening, many of you that are here, like, I may not know what you know. Well, it's not what I know. It's what Lord knows, right? It's what he gives you. And there's not anybody that's sitting here today don't know enough of the gospel, and that's the gospel, the grace of God, the gospel, your salvation, that God Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. You ask them those things. What do you trust in? Don't be afraid, you know. Recently, I'm talking with a guy that's having some issues, and I asked him about some questions, and he wanted to know if I think he's backsliding or turned from a sound doctrine. And I'm like, just answer the question. Just tell me your answers, you know. And he basically just said, well, I agree with what you say. I have to look at my answers, type of thing. So the thing is, did he tell me? So what was on his mind is those questions that I asked him as referring to where he's at in the Word of God. So anyway, when we study the Word of God and give the gospel out, there's a lost world out there, aren't they? There also is a saved world that needs to come to understanding the truth in God's Word. And as we're going through the Word of God, rightly divided, fundamental dispensation, we left off in question number 3. Do not read. We're in lesson 52, by the way. If Lord willing and the politicians don't rise, we'll continue until the... Hey, I always tell people this. We got between now and the catching away. Mm-hmm. So there's no use to be in a big hurry to learn, because we want to learn some things. But, you know, this age of acceleration, I know it's not in the Bible, but it does seem like everything's high speed. If you look at... If you're watching that one-eyed monster, or you listen to the radio, whatever, it seems like everything in the world is such a high speed, fast track to get what they want on the reset or that type of thing, what they want to change you from. And we should just step back and say, whoa, let that train go by. You know, that train's going to derail. But God's word don't derail. What God's programs don't derail. And you're not going to speed up the catching away.
No.
Okay? You're going to die first. God's timing is going to take us out of here. Okay? And those that are asleep are going to go first. So don't sorry over them. But God's going to take us out of here. I'd much rather be taken out of here alive. But if not, you know, I'm making plans for my burial. My graveside service, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is, we still have a gospel. But we're in lesson 52, and we're studying the fundamentals of dispensationalism. And like I said, we left off a lesson, question number 3, do not read the present into the past or into the future. And we compared Acts 19 with Romans chapter 11. But I want you to be turning to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, What you don't want to do today is try to take what you have today in the dispensation of grace in the but now time and place it into Israel's program. Okay, you don't want to do that. Many people have already taken Israel's program and put it in the but now. You know that. Many of you have been in the religious system. They do not understand the fall and the diminishing of Apostle Paul, or the nation Israel, and the casting away of them. And they're all, everybody's down here, but what they try to do is elevate you up here to become spiritual Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, what better promises, you know, did Israel have with God, right? Eternal life and land and thrones and principalities and all that stuff. And, you know, if you think about it, that's not a bad thing for Israel. So when you don't rightly divide the word of truth and understand that those promises are not to you, and you can't do that because it causes confusions. And do not take this present truth and read it into the future. What God is doing today, you don't read it into, okay, this is what they're doing over here. Because if you're in a but now, where would you be? Yesterday?
No.
Tomorrow?
Present.
Or today?
Present.
Yes, today. So Ephesians chapter 3, the issue of the mystery is where people make the biggest mistake trying to apply present truths to the past. Now, you talk to people all the time about the mystery. And they will say, well, Jesus taught the mysteries. You know, there's mystery this, there's mystery that. If the mystery was a mystery, it was a what?
Mystery.
Mystery, there you go. Or what the Bible calls a
secret.
Secret. It was unknown. Listen, when we go through this, I don't want to say listen, consider this. When you go through this, I know people today that helped me understand this truth that now they believe that it was hid in Abraham and time passed, that type of thing, but he didn't know about it. Okay?
Well hid.
Very well hid. that don't make sense. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was made known to the sons. What does it say?
Was not made known
unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the spirits. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm. I'm what?
You know, right? I mean, it's black and white. Did God made a mistake here?
No.
The mystery was not made known in time past, and is now revealed. And people will take that word as and claim it was known to some degree as it is now. That's like I mentioned a few minutes ago. The problem with that is another passage don't support that interpretation. Listen, when you don't understand that verse, what do you have to do?
Find another verse.
There you go. You find another verse to back up what you're saying. Or you stay in the context, right? Context, context, context. And we interpreted something that is unclear in light of something that is clear, don't we? What verse do you think I'm going to go to compare this with? Think just for a second. I know people on the video sometimes don't like me asking you questions. But hey, how do we learn? We learn together, don't we? We want to be taught together.
The verse where Paul talks about he revealed to me first.
Well, you can think about that, but I want you to be turning to Romans chapter 16, verse 25. You should have a little footnote, rabbit trail, from that over to that. Romans 16, 25. One of the things that we like to do is understand, this stuff never gets old to me, guys. I'm sorry. It never gets old. I know people get away from this distinction, ministry, Apostle Paul. They don't want to reveal the mystery. They want to do this. And the thing is, you want to be able to, if you want to teach others to be faithful, this is what you do. And Romans 16, 25 says very clearly, now to him that is the power to establish, not establish, establish you according to my gospel. Now what gospel is that? This is Peter saying this, right?
No.
Who's speaking here?
Paul.
So in my gospel, he's going to make it personal. Hey, can you and I say my gospel?
Oh, I guess, yeah.
You better be saying my gospel, because that's who your apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave you. My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery, which was made known since the world began. Y'all see this, don't you? Mm-hmm. You with me? Mm-hmm. Kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scripture, the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So here's something that's going to be known to all the nations for the obedience of faith. You Gentiles out there, this is how you're going to get established. You Gentiles out there in these nations, you're going to understand my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret before the world began, but now is made known by the scriptures. There's a structure there. My gospel, the mystery, and the scriptures. And you can't get by those three things right there without understanding the word of God right divided. There's no degree of knowledge suggested in that passage. It was not revealed at all, and now it is. And this shows the contrast rather than issues of degrees. So mystery truth does not belong where?
Time pass.
In time pass. The people I was talking about when you in Colossians are talking about his hidden God. Okay? And they say, see, God's the Word. It was hidden in His Word. And they just didn't know it. Now, my biggest thing when somebody tells me that is this. Outside of Daniel in your Bible, outside of Solomon in your Bible, and you won't say David, maybe Abraham, who's wiser than they are?
Satan.
Outside of God, okay?
Satan.
Satan is very wise. You think he knows this Bible?
Yep.
He quotes it inside and out. We saw many a times in Matthew where he says, is it not written? So he's quoting the word of God to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 say in your Bible in regards to if the princes of this world had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Right.
Known what?
The mystery.
The mystery.
And what God is accomplishing through this mystery program with the body of Christ that is seated in heavenly places. So he's taken Israel in time past as the instrument. Okay, I might be getting ahead of myself. And then he uses the body of Christ as the instrument for the heavenly place. In the beginning, God created the
heaven. Heaven and earth.
Very good. I thought I was going to hear an S on there for a minute. It don't say S. Many versions do. He didn't create the heavens to chapter 2 on down the road. He created the heaven and earth, people. And in the heaven and earth, God made a distinction between that. And from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to where?
Acts.
Acts chapter 9, the focus is the earth. That's why people out there, is their mind is not clear, because they've been taught from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over in Acts, that the focus is on this earth. So this Paul's epistles must be focused on the earth. You know that to be error, right? In the book of Matthew, he talks about Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, he says, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You know, they talks about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and if you've got a blue letter Bible, it shows you, if you don't have a blue letter Bible, the treasurer's scripture knowledge. If you don't have that book in your library, you better get it. Because if you have an iPhone, there is an app, or you can use it on your computer. It's called Blue Letter Bible. It has that, so when you go to that verse, it highlights different key words, and it shows you where it's used out throughout the Bible. And you're not going to be able to open up that treasure of scripture knowledge and read it like that Bible, because all it is the verses. Well, guess what that does, which I don't agree with. I mean, I really like the Bible. It shows you everything Paul's talking about. Now, one thing about it is, to find out what those mysteries are, read about them back where they are taught in time past. The mysteries of the kingdom program, mystery of the kingdom of heaven, where is this at? Time past. Now, when we study the book of Matthew, what was those people, what was the, not the Lord's Prayer, they call it Lord's Prayer, but what prayer did they tell them to pray? Our Father, which
on earth as it is in heaven.
So they're to pray in the heaven to come to earth.
Right.
That was the whole focus for heaven to come to earth. So that's a mystery as that. But look, Gentile salvation, was it a mystery?
No.
Gentile salvation, no.
It was never a mystery, guys. It was never a mystery. And God told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Blessed. So the promise back there is that the Gentile salvation would come through the channel of the nation Israel. Mm-hmm. That's why we made, God made a distinction. He always made a provision for Gentiles, nations, to come to understand who the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. God the Creator made a provision for everybody on this earth to be saved in any dispensation.
Amen.
And the promise back there, the mystery that was wrote forward in a few words but kept secret, and the but now, the dispensation is the body of Christ. How God set aside the nation Israel, right? In spite of who? In spite of Israel, Israel rebelled against God. And God set them aside. Israel's got a sin debt paid for. Your sin debt's been paid for. Okay? And it saved the Gentiles in a new way. Do you, in the dispensation of grace of God that you know of, a Gentile, do you have to go through Israel to be saved today?
No.
And like I said, everybody's got to come through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And what Paul is teaching. And there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's a lot of percentage of the churches out there believe you got to go through Israel today. We just mentioned that a few minutes ago. Some way, somehow, if you look at their doctrine statement, they're going to lift up Israel's program and not understand the body of Christ program, or they try to make it the same. Oh, that's it. The body of Christ replaced the kingdom program. So that's why it's all together. There's only one gospel. God is still working through Israel. You don't, no, you're shaking your head, no, preacher. But they do think about that. You just think about what you were taught. So the secret mystery was that God would place a Jew and a Gentile together in one spiritual unit of believers, where there's absolutely, totally equality by simple faith in the gospel. Wow. You know, and you think about, and I'm going to share this with you, and I'll say it again. Does blaspheming the unpardonable sin, many of you say it's what? Many of you heard it was?
Unforgivable.
Unforgivable. Okay, unforgivable, unpardonable. You die and go to hell. Okay, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you know about Apostle Paul?
He was a blasphemer.
He blasphemed.
How's he got saved?
Saved by grace.
The thieves on the cross. Did one of them kind of blaspheme him?
Yes.
And the other one says, what did the other one say? I forgot.
He said, remember me?
Remember me. Well, Jesus said, remember me. And he said that this day you'll be in where?
Paradise.
Paradise. And so what I'm getting at is, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit in that program, the only blaspheming today that you can do is die unsaved. Because God's forgiven you. God has made a provision to forgive you. And one, never back in time past was there absolute equality between a Jew and a Gentile. You talk about racism. You think about that for a minute. If you wasn't a Jew or Hebrew, they looked at you like you're a dog. That's where it came from. Circumcision, uncircumcision. Jew, dog. Then that one in the Philippines said, well, you think I'm a dog? You know, that type of thing? Dogs, well, what did Jesus Christ tell his disciples not to do?
Go not ye into any way of
the Gentiles. Okay?
Go to the lost.
And that woman, you know the woman in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, you know, he says, it's not meet to cast my food to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that falls from the master table. Where does she position herself at?
Herself under Israel.
Under that table. Do you do that today?
No.
Never to. Never back there did people ever believe the gospel that Christ died for their sins. They did not even know he died for their sins. We already seen some of that. They did not preach that to the Gentiles in time past. What did we look at already about the kingdom program? Was there any blood atonement in the kingdom program? No. People often read the mystery and the church, which is the body of Christ, back into time past. Every time we read the word church in the Bible, it does not mean the same entity. In Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, verse 38 says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake unto him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Moses' church is where? In the where? In the wilderness. In the wilderness. The church in the wilderness. You know what that word means? A called out assembly. That's what church means. It's not so much this building of brick and mortars, nice padded pews, songs, bands, smoke and mirrors, stained glass. The word church in English means belonging to the Lord. So Israel in the wilderness was a called out people that belonged to the Lord. In Matthew, get Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew, we read the kingdom church, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth, or whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. That's that kingdom church. You got a church in the wilderness, you got a kingdom church, and you got what? The church, the body of Christ. There's three churches there. So you better know which one you're looking at. Number four, the future, ages to come, is not to be read into the present, but now. I'll say this before, and I'll say it again. There'll probably be going people over here with false doctrine trying to preach to you what Paul preached to be saved in ages to come. Will this gospel and the grace of God save you in the gospel of the kingdom in ages to come?
No.
It won't. The gospel of the kingdom back over here that's been postponed, the gospel of circumcision, is it saving you in the dispensation of where the gospel of uncircumcision is preached?
No.
The The big error in this regard today is when people try to teach that are now going through the Great Tribulation. You heard that?
Mm-hmm.
It's bad out there. The tribulation. See, everything's lining up. They want you to take a mark. They want you to take this. They want you to take that. Buy and sell this. Buy and sell that. You know what that is? You know what that is?
You're mongering.
That's blatant carelessness in handling the scriptures. Era. Big time era. Those ideas come out of history books rather than the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. They've been wars and wars and wars. They've been kings and kings and kings, queens and queens and queens, countries and countries and countries. That I no doubt in my mind there was people that sit in churches thinking that they're the Antichrist. I remember they thought Ronald Wilson Reagan was the Antichrist because he had 666 in his letters of his name, each that type of thing. You know, you think Obama was. Now you think Trump was. Now people think who? The guys up there now.
Biden's too stupid.
But anyway, let's move on. But the thing is, but the idea is you find that in history books. You can't get away from it, the knowing that these countries have went through tribulations. Napoleon. Remember when he conquered the world or tried to conquer the world, people thought he was, you know, the Antichrist. Did you know the same time, speaking of history, same time when he was going on, 1812, 1813, 1814, when he was going in the world, you know what was going on in here in the United States?
We had a bath, didn't
we? We had a what? You said a bath?
A battle.
Well, he had battles, but you know what? You never heard of 1814, took a little trip, along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi, took a little bacon, took a little beans, fought the bloody British in the town of New Orleans. There was a war going on here. The second war of independence in the United States was being about Washington got burnt. The Star Spangled Banner came about in the bay out there in Fort McHenry. The war, not just a war over there, but the war going on here. What I'm getting at, tribulations and war and the Antichrist, it's always going to happen. So if you take that out of your history book and you think about that, that would think you was over in times, ages to come. Missionaries often took the words from a song like, "He rules the world with truth and grace." And teach them through, from that to the millennium, which is now. They said, a lot of say, you know what a premillennialist is? And a postmillennialist. You know what an amillennialist is?
No millennium at all.
Right. And so songs was frequently written about bad doctrine, teaching these things that see, we're over here, but we're not. Number five, part of the future should not be read into another part of the future. For example, the rapture is future from where we are today. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't happened yet. You know what? That's why Paul wrote the book of Thessalonians. People was telling them the resurrection had already passed. And he said, no. I told you these things. There's certain things got to happen. If it already passed, this right here would be going into play. And don't try to place it into another part of the future than where it belongs. Technically, the second coming has two parts. A, Christ comes from the church, the body of Christ. That's the catching away that we believe in, that we preach here and we stand on, the pre-trib. Then you got mid-trib and you got post-trib. Then he comes to establish his earth, his kingdom on earth for Israel. Go to 1 Thessalonians. We just mentioned that. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Got a few more things to get through. You know, for somebody not to think about the pre-trib, that God's going to catch you out here and make you go through a raft. This is not going to be a pretty day over here.
Mm-mm.
And if you're saved, sealed, and sanctified, why would he make you go through that?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's going to be a terrible time over there. Could we see days like that ahead of us? You know, economy-wise and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. Hey, I think about 1929. Now, some of you might have been live then, playing the stock markets. The world crashed. And people literally jumped out of windows that you read about and took their lives. Then a Great Depression happened, didn't it? And dust bowls and people with dirt on the floor, no shoes on the feet, but they survived. Many of you know your grandparents went through that.
Mm-hmm.
There's people in you know, I was talking at the gym the other day. I said, look, I go to places in Ohio that they still have outhouses to use. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah. You don't have to go to another country. You don't have to go down in the Appalachian Mountains of Virginia, West Virginia, Kentucky to see people that has nothing on their feet. Some of your neighbors are that way. They just don't come out, you know. But look, what I'm getting at is that depression was bad times. It could happen to us tomorrow. And well, how are you going to deal with it? You know, right now some of us, our life has not missed a beat. $5 a gallon ain't no big deal. You know, you watch these highways are full of people running up and down the highway right now. And I don't know if it's trying to get everything they can in before they're worried about the fall or you know, that type of thing. Or this is like, hey, life goes on. But depression is bad. You've seen the stories. You've read it. Your mom and dad probably, grandparents probably talked about it. But it ain't nothing compared to what's going on over here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You know who that is, don't you? The people's already passed ahead of time. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel and the trump of God, and the dead and Christ shall rise first. So the Lord himself's coming. Matthew talks about him sending angels. This, the Lord himself is coming. Praise God, hallelujah. He's coming after his body. Because isn't he the head?
Mm-hmm.
That head going to have his body with him. And the trump of God, you know what the trump of God is? You know what the trump is? It's a voice of God. Words. He's going to shout. Then we which are alive and remaineth shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the
Lord.
Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You want to comfort somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You comfort with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of these times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need I write unto you, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, for the day shall not overtake you as the thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but have obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we, Whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. You see, the rapture referred in chapter 4, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. And in chapter 5, verse 3, he talks about, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon who? Them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Listen, you and I will meet the Lord in the air. Then he comes back, and there will be judgment of the nations. And after the millennium will be the great white throne of judgment. And there are three judgments, and they are all future, all different, and all at different times. The time, place, and reasons are different, and the people involved in them are different. So Paul was talking about a future over here, wasn't he? That's going to take place. You know what the judgments are?
Judgment seat of Christ, white throne judgment.
Judgment seat of Christ takes place when?
Right after the rapture.
The memory seat of judgment right here. It's from my understanding that when God takes us up here, Jesus Christ, he comes up. When he leaves the throne of God, the third heaven comes in, he rolls up the heavens that you see up there like a straw and dumps them. And all them bad apples come to earth. And he takes us out of here, the Bema seat of judgment, judgment seat of Christ, he judges us not for sin. It's already been paid for.
Mm-hmm.
But he judges for rewards. Then he takes us and presents us to the Father as a virgin. And the Father puts us in positions. Then he comes to this earth. The judgment of the nations, Matthew 25, he takes place on the ground at the second advent. And then the third is the great white throne of judgment, Revelation 20, takes place when the heavens and earth flee away. This is not going to be a good time over here. And I know a brother talked on this, and he says, we'll be witnessing that. Like you're in a courtroom, like the people that really done you bad and all that stuff or done God bad, you're going to see them be judged. Now, whether or not that's true, you know, it's something to think about. So summary again, do not read one part of the past into another part of the past. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Two, do not read the past into the present. That's one of the biggest mistakes that people make today when they fail to rightly divide the word of truth. Mm-hmm. Three, do not read the present into the past or into the future. Leave it where it's at.
Right.
It's that simple. That's why people go off wandering and going after strange doctrines that was here, standing true, and no longer here. Do not read the future into the present. Do not read, number five, do not read the part of the future into another part of the future. We just saw that about the judgments. We just saw that about the rapture. So ask yourself, who's speaking? To whom they're speaking? When do they say it, and where does it fit? Those things right there, as simple as can be, you look at it and say, maybe strange. It may takes a little time for us to part, you know, set them where they're supposed to be. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you once again for tuning in. We love to see you here. Come fellowship with us around 9:30 on Sunday morning. We get the Bible time starts around 10 o'clock. And once you get to know us and know the saints here, you're just going to have a grand old time in the Word of God. Right, guys?
Amen.
Until next week.